This is Health Yeah, your weekly update on what's going on in the health, wellness, and medical world with Monica Robbins.
If you've been trying to kick that diet soda or pop habit, well, now may be the time.
As of now, we should avoid as much as we possibly can artificially and sweetened beverages.
A new study suggests diet pop may raise a person's risk of developing a serious heart condition. We take a closer look at this condition and people living with it.
I woke up on a stretcher with the paramedics all around me.
We'll explore this and much more in this week's Prescription for Life. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Monica Robbins. You think you may be doing the healthy thing by reaching for that diet drink, but you actually may be doing more harm than good. Researchers found those who consume more than 2 liters of diet pop weekly were 20% more likely to develop an irregular heartbeat or what's called atrial fibrillation, or AFib. It can cause stroke, heart failure, or other heart-related complications. Experts suggest cutting out sugary drinks altogether for many reasons.
We're drinking too much of our calories. So sugar sweetened beverages, I think, are, if I could eliminate something from the diet, it would be sugar sweetened beverages. So that's not only things that come to mind first, like sodas, but also juices, Gatorades, sweet teas, things like that. And then also, you know, all those delicious coffee drinks as well that tend to pack a big sugar punch.
One more thing. Doctors say don't fool yourself in thinking drinking a low sugar or low calorie artificially sweetened drink will be healthier. For more about that, here's our expert. Joining me now is Julia Zampano, who is a registered dietitian with Cleveland Clinic, talking about pop. What did you drink today? How many sodas do you drink in a day? Is it really that bad for us?
Well, yes. I mean, in a nutshell, yes. And we know that what we've known in the past is that soda can increase your risk of cardiovascular disease, obesity, diabetes, you know, insulin resistance, abdominal weight gain, metabolic syndrome. We know it can lead to all of these things. And now this recent study shows that it increases your risk for atrial fibrillation, which can increase your risk of stroke. And the study took 2 liters or greater a week was the consumption that it had noted increased your risk.
Is there a safe level somebody can have? I mean, or should we look at this as like a treat?
I think we should look at it as a treat. I think as of now, we should avoid as much as we possibly can artificially and sweetened beverages and stick to mainly water, maybe a small amount of 100% fruit juices or vegetable juices, but really sticking to like coffee or tea, but really trying to avoid those beverages altogether. Occasionally, once in a while, it's probably fine. But, you know, for now, really avoidance is ideal.
But wait, you're telling me I can't have the diet whatever. And that's what everybody thinks, well, I'm going to do that so I can lose weight. Is it not working?
I personally don't see that diet beverages support weight loss. I mean, in my years of patient care, normally I will try to take most of my patients off artificially sweetened beverages, obviously mainly being diet soda, those carbonated beverages. We know there's a lot of other health risks. We know they can deplete your calcium in your bones, so lead to more bone loss. We know they're not good for your teeth. It's not good for your gut microbiome. So artificial sweeteners can disrupt some of those healthy bacteria from growing. So we know none of those things are supportive for overall health. And then from weight loss, I haven't necessarily seen the positive outcome of diet soda on weight loss. I really think it can inhibit weight loss because it does stimulate your desire to have more sweet beverages and sweet foods because you're constantly drinking and having some of that sweetness in your mouth. So it's very hard to get away from the sugar cravings when you're consuming that artificial or sweetened soda all day long.
Well, the new craze, though, is going back to pure sugar, mm-hmm. you know, because the artificial sweeteners are so much sweeter than natural sugar.
Right.
So if you're going to do this, is it better to go to a normally, you know, a cane sugar drink or just stay away from it?
I would just stay away from it, to be honest, because we know cane sugar is not necessarily good for us either. It still stimulates the brain. It still stimulates a lot of cravings, sugar cravings. So I would just, you know, discount it altogether and making it a special occasion type thing.
All right, let's talk alternatives. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people go for the little, you know, the tubes of artificial sweeteners that you put in your water mm-hmm. to flavor your water. Mm-hmm. Are those okay?
So those are artificially sweetened. So, you know, there are some artificial sweeteners that are better than others, such as a stevia-based sweetener tends to be a little bit more safe, not as many negative studies against it. So if you are going to choose something like that, make sure it's a more higher quality herbal sweetener like stevia. And another thing that you could do is try to use natural sources to enhance the flavor of your water, like lemon or lime or orange slices, mint or cucumber. All of those things can add so much more flavor without any of the negative health effects.
What about juices? We often tell parents, don't give your kids juices in the sippy cups because it can damage their teeth.
Sure.
Or should we be staying away from natural fruit juices too?
I think a little bit of natural fruit juice, 100% fruit juice, or a vegetable juice is fine. Again, we want to keep it in moderation, 4 to 8 ounces a day. But that can add a little bit of flavor to your beverages too. I even say maybe splash a little bit of juice in your water too, 100% fruit juice, like an ounce or two, just to give it another little boost of flavor. So we can work those in a little bit. We just want to make sure we're not drinking all day long sweetened beverages or juices, because then again, it can lead to still negative health outcomes, even though it's 100% fruit juice.
So a number of people will tell me, and asking for a friend here, that when they try to get off the pop, when mm-hmm. they try to get off, especially the caffeinated beverages and the artificial sweetened beverages, that it's almost like a withdrawal.
Mm-hmm.
How long does that last? And should you be doing anything in the interim to help with that withdrawal?
Sure. So it depends on each person and their reaction to it. I think it depends on how much soda you're actually drinking, you know, how quickly you withdrew it, you know, and then your body's reaction to it too. So I think the best way to handle that would be maybe a slow or more moderate withdrawal of the ingredient that may be triggering it. So maybe instead of drinking 4 sodas a day, we go down to 3, then 2, then 1, then, you know, 1 a week. And then we start to kind of wean ourselves off of it versus going cold turkey. Some people do great with cold turkey. I mean, some people do better than, you know, they're constantly fighting against that desire to want more. And some people handle the slower, moderate reduction better. So it's really, you have to know yourself and what you think would resonate better with yourself and try it. And then if it doesn't work, try the other aspect of it. So this diet and nutrition and the way we react to foods, it's all trial and error because we all react differently. So if you listen to your body, if you know your body, you're going to be able to know the answer better than anyone else will.
So there is not one pop or soda that is better than another. You know, if it's a dark cola or if it's, you know, a lighter cola or anything like that, they're all pretty much in the same boat.
I would avoid them all. I mean, there's some variability there, but that doesn't necessarily mean any of it is healthy, but there may be variability. Some may be worse than others slightly because of one reason or another, but in general, we want to avoid them all and limit them.
And the damage they can do, you talked about AFib.
Mm-hmm.
AFib can lead to stroke.
Right.
Who knew that a diet pop could mm-hmm. eventually cause a stroke. What about your teeth?
Certainly can affect, I mean, the sugar itself can increase cavities. Some of the acidity can break down some of the enamel in your teeth. it can definitely lead to some indigestion and gut dysbiosis, which means that good bacteria is not as prevalent as the bad bacteria. So you have this dysbiosis of good versus bad bacteria. And then it can lead to more like an acidic stomach or sour stomach that happens all more, irritate the lining of your stomach because it's so acidic.
So people might be having problems not realizing that it's probably the pop or the soda that they've been drinking that's causing those issues.
Yes.
All right. So bottom line, I'm supposed to drink 8 to 10 glasses of fluid a day. Can that be coffee? Can that be, obviously water is the go-to, but no
coffee. So water is number one. We do want a majority water. Coffee is dehydrating. So you can drink coffee. That doesn't mean it's bad, but you have to realize it's more dehydrating. So you may need to bump up your water if you're drinking multiple cups of coffee a day. Teas are great, herbal and non-herbal that may have caffeine in them. Those are phenomenal. 100% fruit and vegetable juices are also good. So those are some great beverages to have if you want a little bit of milk, depending on your dietary preferences, or milk alternatives that are unsweetened. Those are also added benefits. I even recommend like some coconut water could be a nice added beverage to your routine because it has some vitamins, minerals, electrolytes, things like that in there.
Almond milk, coconut milk, all that kind of thing.
Yep. Any of those milk alternatives that are unsweetened, make sure they're unsweetened.
So there is hope.
There is hope.
There is hope. There are things we can drink out there that are...
Absolutely. You know. Absolutely. Just remember, it's just a beverage and it doesn't come from the earth. Like, we really want things that come from the earth, things that come from the ground. You know, fruit juices come from fruit and those come from the earth. We really want to focus on simplicity when it comes to our diet, because all of these artificial added foods that we're consuming are really leading to a lot of health concerns and health issues.
As always, phenomenal insight. Thank you so much, Julie.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Still ahead, a closer look at what is AFib and its causes. Plus, after 2 years of feeling out of shape and even collapsing, a California woman gets the shock of her life.
I ran a marathon. I played, you know, sports my whole life. How could there be something wrong with my heart?
We've been talking about a recent pop study where researchers found those who consume more than 2 liters of diet pop weekly were 20% more likely to develop atrial fibrillation, or AFib, which is an irregular heartbeat. Our Memphis TV station takes a closer look at the heart condition, commonly known as AFib.
March 1st, 2022, I went to St. Francis with COVID. Breathing very deeply and hard and strained, unable to breathe. They told me I wasn't testing positive for COVID. I was in AFib.
AFib is an irregular rhythm of the heart, mostly involving the upper chambers called atrium of the heart. It causes a lot of symptoms, like they can have shortness of breath, they can have chest pain, they can have palpitation, dizziness, fatigue.
Hey, good morning, Mr. Warren. How are you, sir?
They also can lead people to have other complications as bad as congestive heart failure. They can have stroke in different severity, and also that can lead to death.
Deep breath, sir. Breathe in and out.
I'm going to look at your legs, make sure you have no swelling.
The only thing that's different is I take more medications than I ever have before, but I feel perfect. I mean, I do.
You're as good as normal, as good as new.
I feel like I've been to Service Master and it never happened.
Some famous people have been diagnosed with AFib, like actor and comedian Howie Mandel, and basketball legends Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Larry Bird. For an inside look at what people living with AFib experience, Eric Canhart shares the journey of a San Diego woman who received a diagnosis after years of complications.
Played tennis for Torrey Pines High School.
Candace Donahoe.
We were superstars.
Is all heart.
We had 6 nationally ranked tennis players on our team.
Before ruling the tennis courts at Torrey Pines High in the 90s, she vividly recalls that moment as a kid.
I fell in love with it.
When her heart filled with the competitive spirit.
My dad used to be a hockey player, and he made it into a game. He said, try to pass me and on the tennis court. And so when he made it a game for me as a child, all of a sudden I realized I was super competitive.
Sinking her heart into every serve and return, the fierce competitor,
I'm a Hoosier,
got a D1 scholarship to Indiana University.
We won the Big Tens when I was there.
In 2001, Candace was training in San Diego's finest half marathon.
20 yards in front of the finish line, I collapsed into the chain link fence. I woke up on a stretcher with the paramedics all around me.
She was originally told the blackout was due to dehydration, but the problems persisted. For the next 2 years, Candace felt out of shape, out of breath, even collapsing a few more times. It was after a jog when her dad, a doctor, noticed her face was very pale.
So he, you know, checked my wrist and he couldn't count my pulse.
After several doctor's visits and opinions, Candace eventually saw an electrophysiologist, a doctor specializing in the heart's electrical system.
And ended up doing an ablation and diagnosed me with atrial fibrillation and atrial flutter.
Turns out the woman, known for being all heart on the tennis court, had an underlying heart condition affecting about 5 million U.S. adults.
I ran a marathon. I played, you know, sports my whole life. How could there be something wrong with my heart?
And we often say if you live long enough, you will develop atrial fibrillation.
Sharp cardiologist Dr. Charles Athill says it's rare to see AFib under the age of 50, but younger people can mistake it for stress or anxiety.
We tend to take a long time to make that diagnosis because we assume that it's often something else and not something as serious as atrial fibrillation.
Candace's doctors found part of her heart's electrical pathway was beating 4 times higher than normal.
It's a very chaotic heart rhythm.
Candace's ongoing health complications sparked her interest in getting into the medical device field. In fact, the insertable cardiac monitor she eventually had implanted next to her heart is from the med tech company she works for. The device, smaller than a AAA battery, zapped the circuit her heart was taking so it would no longer spike and helped monitor her heart activity.
Right now, I know now what the triggers are and what things I need to do to make sure that I don't, you know, push myself beyond the limits.
Turns out heat was triggering Candace's heart rate, and she's not the only one avoiding triggers now.
Since I was diagnosed, my mother and her brother both got diagnosed with atrial fibrillation. So it turns out it was in the family.
2 decades since that first collapse, Candace recently got the cardiac monitoring device removed, and the once uber competitive athlete admits scaling back has been hard.
I got a Peloton. I no longer, because I can't seem to help myself, I'm so competitive. They put me in one of those classes.
It's okay to finish last for once, Candace.
Yeah, I don't like that. But it's really important, you know, that you listen to your body. Go see the doctor if you don't feel good.
That'll do it for this edition of Prescription for Life. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back next week with another dose. Until then, I'm Monica Robbins wishing you and yours good health.
Thank you so much for tuning into Health Yeah. Please find me on Twitter and Instagram at Monica Robbins. Like and follow my Facebook page, Monica Robbins WKYC. Find video podcasts at Monica Robbins' channel on YouTube. And please subscribe. Wishing you great health and hope to see you again soon.
Thanks for listening to Health Yeah with Monica Robbins from WKYC Studios. Subscribe now so you never miss an update. And find more on everything you heard here on WKYC.com and on the WKYC app.